Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown, the podcast that talks about comic book story arcs. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is two special guests.
Ken.
And Brittany.
All right. Welcome, guys.
Hey.
Hi.
All right, so this is you guys' first time on the podcast. So
exciting.
Yep.
You text me.
Yes.
All day today. Could you guys please give me give the audience your comic book background?
So I have a little bit comic book background. I worked in a comic shop for a while, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. Really, really enjoyed it.
That's how we met.
Yes, that's how we met.
Yeah.
And then I've been reading comics for a while, a couple years now, actively. But when I was working in theater, I actually got the nickname Wonder Woman, which started me going, well, Wonder Woman's pretty awesome. I should probably read something of hers, though, if I got this nickname.
And she really is.
And she's the coolest. Yeah. So then I started reading Wonder Woman pretty religiously around 2013.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so right after New 52?
New 52, yeah.
Nice.
So I started reading that out of trade paperbacks, and then Rebirth happened, and I was like, I am buying every issue off the stand.
Rebirth has been pretty good.
And Rebirth's been really great, so yeah, really happy.
Ken?
Not as much as Brittany. Mostly just what I've picked up from her here and there. And
whatever she tells you to read.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. But then you've like gotten Die, you heard about, and you were like, oh my God, I really want to read that.
I need to pick that up.
Yeah, I'm like need to pick that up this week because I'm really worried that the local shop's gonna be gone. And I'm like, I don't want to pay like $20 on
Plus,
eBay
apparently
for
there's
it.
Like 20 different covers.
I heard there's a billion different covers, but when I went into the shop, there was one. And then of course, I played Magic that night, and then the shop was closed.
Naturally.
By the time I went to go buy it.
I'm assuming you've seen the movies though. Both of you?
Yes.
Like, big comic book movie fan. Yeah. So, we've been seeing those since we started dating.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Okay, well, today we are doing an Iron Man arc. I believe the
Tony
arc...
Stark!
I believe the arc is called The Beginning of the End.
Yes, The Beginning of the End.
It takes place in Iron Man issues 17 through 23. It was published in 1969. The writer is Archie Goodwin. The art is George Tuska. Inks were done by Johnny Craig and Joe Gaudioso. Nope, that's not right. By Joe Gaudioso.
Something like that.
Sure.
Valiant effort.
To be fair, it's actually a pseudonym for Mike Esposito. So.
Yeah, there we go.
So
he was covering himself.
And then letters done by Gene Izzo. Let's go ahead and... start right in.
Yeah.
Okay.
We start off here in this issue 17 with Iron Man getting struck by lightning. And it's apparently he's confused by it because he is in his suit. He's got a refractory coating that deflects the lightning.
Yeah.
So he was even kind of wondering what the heck was going on here.
And he's like, what's going on? Yeah. I should be okay.
I think he makes comment that this is no normal lightning.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently at the same time that's happening though, Stark Industries is being attacked because we see in this picture we got an explosion happening and these two guards being thrown about. I do like the gate being ripped apart.
Yeah, you gotta appreciate that the gate's being ripped apart in two different directions and the guys are like, whoa!
Sprawling out.
It's really great. Yeah.
We flip back over to Stark and the lightning was actually being an attack from these goons.
Yep, these goons in helmets. Quickly, page 3, we see, like, oh, yep, was not ordinary lightning, and it's something to do with Midas.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, dun, dun.
Whoever this Midas is, we haven't met him yet.
No.
We then go back to Stark Industries, and we see a, what do they call her?
Golden Masked Girl.
She gets picked up by the two henchmen.
That were attacking Tony.
And they're afraid of her, or they don't like her.
I do like this one guy's comment. We don't want to stand her up, and the other guy's like, stood her up. It makes it sound like it's a date.
Nope.
They do pick her up, and they take her back to their secret island in the Aegean Sea. And she meets up with this individual who is Howard Stark? No, Morgan Stark.
Morgan Stark.
Sorry.
Yep.
Morgan Stark, who is Tony's cousin. Didn't know. Nope. You have a living cousin?
Something tells me he won't soon.
Well, definitely, he's definitely in a bind right now.
And he's blotting his head going, uh-oh, what have I done here?
But he says this lady's name, name of Madame Mask, and he is also terrified of her, just as much as the other guys were. Go back to Stark Industries, and we see these firemen going through the rubble, not finding anybody, happy that nobody got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But then Tony Stark just comes out of the rubble.
He's like, oh, hey, I'm here, go, guys. Yeah. And everyone's like, wait, what?
Like, hold on. Well, and they made mention that they hadn't seen them in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Stark even mentioned that here on the very next page. Mm-hmm. No, sorry. A little bit later, how he's been gone for a bit.
Yeah. But, and we all know that Iron Man's not there. Mm-hmm. So.
And, yeah, at this point in time, nobody knows that Tony Stark is Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
All they know is that Stark has hired Iron Man to be his bodyguard.
Yeah.
We go over to the next page, and we have Janice Cord, who comes. Apparently, she was a love interest of Tony Stark, and she is talking to her head scientist, Alex. You have his name by chance, because I can't remember his name off the top of my head. Nixon
Alex,
or something like Niven?
Niven.
Niven?
Yes, Niven. Alex Niven.
And he is trying to, he's doing some sort of project, still late at night. She comes wandering in, wondering what's, she's heard the music on the radio.
And she's like, why are you working here so late?
He's just hiding up a project. It's like, whatever, no big deal. But then he starts putting the moves on her.
And she obviously does not look okay with this.
Are you sure?
Look at this third panel right here.
Look at this panel right here.
Yeah.
Where she does embrace it.
A little bit, but I would like to say that first one is like, what are you doing?
Shock and surprise.
Shock and surprise does not mean that you should shock and surprise anyone, okay? No means no, guys. No means no.
Thank you.
She might have been surprised, then she was like, well, I guess, because this is also the 60s, right? Where, like, women are just late 60s, yeah. Early 70s. Like, women are like, well, I guess, because... it's the guy.
Yeah, the guy's giving me attention. You know what? I'm going to stop myself right there.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop myself right there.
So, no.
Okay.
I'm going to say this was a no. Panel three, second row, it was a no.
Yeah, but panel two
of row third three. Row is a yes. She's got her arm. She's going, hey.
She's going, hey, what?
On the radio, they hear that Stark Industries was bombed or had gotten attacked, and that Tony Stark was trapped in the wreckage.
And she is very concerned.
Morgan Stark is also hearing this, and he's starting to get worried, because now that Tony Stark's still alive, the plans that he is having set up with Midas may not come to fruition. And Madame Mask, I don't want to say takes advantage of the situation, but comes in and is like, all right, Midas wants to see you.
Because this is not okay.
You are not sneaking out.
No. And she also, she's got, like you said, a golden mask on.
Mm-hmm.
And she takes it off and shows Morgan what her face looks like. He's all disturbed by it and passes out from it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because
the shock, how horrible.
Yeah. But then he does wake up in front of Midas and we see him. He's this... big hulking fella with a giant beard. Apparently he is a Greek. He's from Greek, Greece. I had to look up some stuff on him. And
you see all those Greek influences too.
Well, there's that too. Well, he's also trying to get, he named himself after
King Midas.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So his plan is to...
He did not take that as a warning story.
No, he did not. This is his first appearance, and I do know, as doing some research on him, he comes back later on.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, he does not die in the preceding issues. And apparently he does have like a golden touch in the future issues. So,
so he does
he does something.
He gets something.
Yeah. Anyway, but this is his first appearance, and he wakes up Morgan telling him, hey, you done goofed up. Like,
you done messed up.
Like, you said this would happen, but everything you didn't tell us about Iron Man's defenses. You didn't tell us Stark would have survived, or you informed us that Stark would die from this, and you messed up.
And he has this rolly chair.
Well, no, it's a floating chair, which I love.
Yeah, this floating chair.
So Morgan, he's all surprised that his chair, Midas's chair, was flying at him. But previous panel, it's not even touching the ground. How did he not realize?
I think he's probably so shocked that he's there. Like, he probably is just like, oh my god, this big guy is yelling at me, yeah. And I'm gonna be, you know, probably killed.
Yeah, probably.
So he probably wasn't looking at the floor. Let's be serious. Would you be looking at the floor
probably
right now?
Probably not. In that situation, I'm like, oh no, I'm sorry, I'm out.
Please let me go, please let me go.
Speaking of being out, Morgan's running away, Midas is chasing him, and they get to the edge of this cliff, of basically where his palace is at. Midas is dangling him over the edge, and Morgan's just like, no, please, please, I'll do anything. Don't drop me. And Midas like, you know, I still have use for you at the moment.
So basically using fear tactics to control.
What a good villain would do.
Yeah.
This is what's going to happen if you lie to me again. Yeah. So don't lie.
Exactly. Well, I don't even think he was intentionally lying. He didn't know.
I thought he said at one point, I was lying because I wanted to impress you or something.
Oh, you know what? You are correct. So we go to desert in Nevada, and we see a vulture start to attack Iron Man.
Well, that way try.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, Iron Man passed out, and the vulture thinks it's food.
He's like, rah,
rah, rah. Yeah. Stark has no idea why he's in the desert until he sees his briefcase, and then... He makes comment that he left this Hitachi case here before his fight with Unicorn, which that happened a few issues prior. Apparently, he had, once the lightning had knocked him out, he had inadvertently directed himself to the Nevada Desert to get his case. And this case is what holds his Iron Man armor, mm-hmm. which is actually pretty cool. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
We'll see that here. Mm-hmm. Next issue as well.
It all collapses down into
that. Yeah, which I'm going to comment about his mask here later, but we'll get to that in due time. So he's all worried that since he's been gone for so long that he has to come up with a good explanation. But when he gets to the office, everybody's all like...
freaking out that they're seeing.
Kind of giving him the side eye.
It's like, wait, are you... Huh? Mm. I do like this panel right here, though, where he's... turned around in his car talking to the security guard. Maybe you should be keeping your eyes on the road. I mean, I know it's your industry and everything, but come on, dude. You don't want...
You're about to hit the other two.
Exactly. So he gets into his office, and he's just kind of not understanding what everybody's looks are for until he steps in and sees his life model decoy standing there.
And he's like, whoa, this thing worked.
Yeah. Well, again, another side note. He used it in issue, looks like 11 and 12, or at least 11,
mm-hmm.
when he was fighting the Mandarin. And this accident, when the thing exploded, it reactivated them.
Yeah.
And it just basically took a life of his own. And he even said that because he... Stark was paranoid and left electric memory tapes in his basically in the bank. He was able to just copy everything and, oh, look, I'm Tony Stark now.
Hi, he was able to
replace him because Tony apparently kept all of his memories in a old computer, mm-hmm. basically.
Which I think the episodes just came out of the Avengers that I just released where... Uh-huh. Wonder Man's memories were in a memory bank, and then used for the Vision. So,
okay.
It's not impossible. And that took place, I think, about a year before this. So, not impossible for that time. But not only is he wanting to duplicate Tony Stark, he's going to be Iron Man.
He wants to be it all.
To the point where he says that he doesn't want to kill Tony, but he will if he has to.
So, we can kind of see where this is about to go.
Yeah, because Tony Stark being Tony Stark, he just goes for his hidden cachet of weapons to attack this LMD, and that doesn't go real well. The LMD just manhandles them easily and destroys the weapons, and security comes in, takes them away, and they even make a mention here that...
He's not that good of an imposter.
Yeah, it's like, you know, shave off the mustache and leave the impressions to Frank Gorshin.
Gorshin. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which
who
is
that
just
is.
Hilarious.
Well, like, good times.
Yeah. And it's also just like, hey, you're not the real Iron. You're not the real Tony Stark.
Yeah.
It's like, but I am. But that, I mean, this is such a classic storyline to us now. But like then, like this probably like hasn't happened that much. So people were
correct.
Like, this
yeah.
is great. Yeah. What's
and
going on?
They even went so far as to say, like, you know, you're far from convincing, pal. Especially since we've got Mr. Stark's fingerprints on file, and yours don't match. It's like they actually thought of everything here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For this storyline back then, that's awesome.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was very detailed.
And then as we go to the next page, we see Stark trying to just get money out of the bank, get a suit, just trying to clean himself up a little bit. Mm-hmm. The bank's like, yeah, no, this isn't his signature. The suit is like your card was canceled. And I love this. He goes to Avengers Manor, and Jarvis is like, yeah, that's you need the new
code.
And you'd have it if you were Mr. Stark.
So
right, Mr. Stark?
You're not Mr. Stark, are you?
That's great. And then he's just kind of, he's all distraught.
Stereotypical walking through the rain distraught.
Which I've noticed happens a lot in the Marvel books in the 60s.
All the Marvel.
Everything I've been reading.
I have seen this so many times in Amazing Spider-Man.
Yes.
Like, you see Peter just going, oh, I'm walking through the rain.
Well, I mean, and this is New York. I'm not saying New York doesn't get rain, but apparently get a lot of rain.
Apparently we're in Britain.
It's mood raining.
Yes. But as he is trying to just figure out something to do, his heart starts to, I'm not going to say give way, but starts to shut down, maybe?
Probably.
Probably be the right word to say it.
And that seems, and that's a common thread throughout all these. He, his heart and having to charge the,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Charge that panel.
And he does, I know he does it this way by going to somebody's, some random car, which I feel like that would kill you. I know it's, his suit is specifically made to handle that charge, but
still.
Yeah. Cops show up, they try to stop him, and I'm assuming he just rips it off because they say that the sparks are blinding
them. I think
he
didn't want them to see he had the
correct
vest, so I think he just, yeah, when he pulled it off, I think he shot sparks at him with the
silver.
I've seen the sparks from a battery before. I do. That is quite a bit.
Oh yeah, no, he had to have something on there.
And the silver like cords from where he was charging.
Yeah, he just
from his chest.
He goes to run away, and the cops are saying to stop. He jumps over. I like this because he jumps over a fence, and the cops shoot
through
the fence, and then they call it warning shots. Those are just warning shots. Really?
Really? Do you have that bad of aim?
Well, usually warning shots are shot in the air or at the ground. Not directly in the fence. A guy just jumped over.
We don't know where you are, so we can't aim at you.
Yeah.
So they're just warning shots.
Yeah. But they're going to give chase. Tony is hiding in basically a heap of garbage. And as he runs away, he gets knocked out by Madam Mask. And she grabs him and lifts him up to the ship for a aerial escape.
And interesting, they call him a pawn there, which they probably would not if they knew he was.
Correct. Well, because in their mind, this is just an imposter. Oh, which one thing I did not point out, when the guards and everything showed up to take Tony Stark off the premises, Iron Man had said, or the Tony Stark that was there, the LMD, had already given warning to everybody that, oh yeah, look out for this guy.
There's an imposter coming.
I'm just like,
how did he?
That's good.
That's
good. Great. It explains why everybody was giving Stark the side eye. Mm-hmm. But
that LMD really did his job.
He did. He did that. That was actually pretty amazing.
Yes.
But that brings us to the end of this issue. Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with the next chapter of this Iron Man story arc.